Well, welcome to American Christian, episode 117, Doc.
Already 117?
I know. It's like I'm losing. It's like, it's not a big deal anymore. 50 was a big deal. 100 is a big deal. 117 is like, okay, we're here to stay.
But this is going to be a great episode today.
Yeah, this is good. You know, we're talking about, what are we talking about?
We are talking about the doctrine of man.
That's right. Who are we?
What a subject.
Right, and again, doctrine is what?
It is the collected teaching and what you believe and what you teach about a certain subject.
So even before you come to Jesus, you got a doctrine.
Well, many people do.
Right? Like even coming up through high school, right. Coming up in and through your own household, there are doctrines, there are belief systems.
Right.
Right? And so we were talking today, we're gonna kind of split the pendulum, right? We've got overstatements and understatements about who man is and who man isn't. And in this day and age, right now, in 2022, the big question is, what is a woman?
Right.
And this was the other thing. So we were, Tam and I were watching one of the news programs, Check the News with Shuttlesworth. And it's that this statement, I identify as a male, or I identify as... Let me tell you something. I told Tammy, I will never use those words.
I
am a man, right. And my wife is a woman. Period.
That's right.
I'm not
That's
identifying right. as anything. I am.
It's like that chorus that's being sung right now.
Which one?
I am who the I am says I am.
Ooh.
Do you hear that one?
No,
I like it. I am who the I am says I am.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Somebody is, you know, putting a trumpet to this stuff.
Right.
So, okay. Now, last episode, we were into... talking about man from a perspective of, how would you summarize that?
Well, man was created and made in the image of God. We explored what that might mean, and then what was given to man in chapter 2, and the creation of woman.
Right.
And that it was all good, and the command to have dominion over the earth and to be fruitful and multiply.
Right.
And all of that puts man in a very exalted place. But the temptation for many people is to take man and place him too high. And that's called humanism.
Ooh, man, how do we...
right?
Humanism! When we're all lifting up the animals and the trees and the ecosystem, and then there's still this lifting up of man in humanism.
Well, yeah, right. And humanism stands in the face of God.
Whoa.
In other words, of deism. Man is the God. Man is the greatest thing there is. And there are people that actually believe and teach that.
Right.
Right. And they're wrong.
Exactly.
Sorry to have
exactly.
to say it, but right. So.
So before we come into the fall, I just want to say, look, man. I think that man had a good run with God.
Yes.
Before the fall. I mean, we read this chapter 1, chapter 2, by afternoon, chapter 3. You know, you're in the fall. It's everything fell
right.
apart, right? But there was this moment.
Yeah,
and
we
fellowship.
Don't know how long it was. It might have been days, weeks, months, could have been years. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us.
Well, you know, you think about naming stuff. I mean, that's
right.
Certainly.
And there was, and Adam and Eve had some kind of life together in this, and we're having this fellowship with God in the cool of the day.
Right.
That went on for some time.
There was some walking in the garden.
We don't know. It could have been years.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so as sad as it is, we have to go into
chapter 3. Because in chapter 3, we meet the serpent. Now, so far, all through chapter 1 and 2 in Genesis, there's nothing about Satan.
Right.
At all.
Right. But he's there.
But, well, he must have been there, because now this assumes verse 1 of chapter 3.
Right.
Kind of assumes it, right? So the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So temptation enters the world through a being that is set for evil. God set Adam and Eve for good. He only wanted good. He only wanted them healthy. He only wanted them strong. He only wanted them righteous and in his presence. That's what God wanted.
Right.
But of course, the serpent wanted something else.
Right. And these are words.
And they have one command. They don't have the, what is it, the 557 or however many of the laws from Moses. They don't even have Jesus. Love God and love your neighbor. That's two. They only have one. Okay, right? Their one command is don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree in the center of the garden.
Right.
Man, oh man. But you learn in that, though. There's something important there, though.
Yeah.
As beautiful and wonderful and strong and everything as Adam and Eve were, they did not have the development of a moral character just handed to them by God and say, oh, here now, you are as though you lived 1,000 years making the right choice every time.
That's a good point, isn't it?
Well, they had the point was they were supposed to develop that.
Right.
Out of their relationship with the Father and knowing him and talking with him, and then when he says, don't eat of that tree in the middle of the garden, okay, we won't do it. But, of course, Satan seizes on that as his great opportunity. So the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. And notice, this is classic Satan. This is how he operates. It's a smoke screen. It's a fog. It's like, whoa, you know, who is this God? I mean,
like
you guys need...
Party.
You guys need to eat. I mean, is he outlawed every kind of food for every kind of tree?
Right, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And Eve, of course, said, well, no, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.
See, and the thing, too, is this. This is still going on today, and people are still having conversations with the serpent.
Yes, they are.
And the answer is, get away from me, you foul spirit.
Resist the devil,
go.
And he must flee, right?
Don't be answering his questions. He's
so
not gathering information.
Right. So then the serpent, verse 4, says to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now here's a very sad verse.
Yeah.
Because a being that was not designed to carry evil, a human being, God created Adam and Eve good.
Right.
What happens when evil is introduced?
Yeah.
Sin. Rebellion.
Cancer.
And the systems of the body.
The systems of the body.
Begin to receive evil along with good. You get the whole mixture of what's going on in the world has been for thousands of years.
Right.
Isn't that something?
It is. It really is.
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, notice this, she first took of its fruit and ate.
Right.
In spite of the fact that, well, I guess we'll come to that later on. She did, anyway, Eve did. She ate. And then she took and gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And really what happened in that moment, up until that whole time, they didn't need clothing, not because it was a nudist colony, but the glory of God was around them, I believe. And even their bodies. But in the moment of sin and rebellion against God,
right,
And I believe it was just what the text says. It was the eating of a fruit of a certain tree in a certain garden. And here's why. This isn't an allegory about sex and all that stuff like we mentioned last time.
Right.
Because the tree of life that is also standing right there next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you see that mentioned several times in the Bible. And in the book of Revelation, at the end of things, there it is.
Hallelujah.
And we're told we get to eat from it.
Wow.
As the body of Christ.
Hallelujah. And you know what? All of this fruit, all of these trees, they had to have been delightful to look at. Have you ever seen a fruit tree and you're like, man, is that ugly? I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I've ever... I think that all fruit has a look to it, but this has even a greater look to it.
Right. Knowledge of good and evil. So... The personal apprehended knowledge of evil into a being that was created only to be good, that becomes the massive contradiction that mankind is from this point forward.
It is the massive contradiction.
Some people
will tell you that there's what we are. Such thing.
Yeah, we're all right.
Right?
Right. Right. Okay, so the eyes of both of them were open. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And we've been wearing clothes ever since.
Yes.
Especially in Minnesota. Especially today.
Man.
I stepped outside. I said, thank God for clothes.
Man.
Man, it was cold. All right, so then you come to verse 8.
Okay.
And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
Hmm.
This is new. This has not been done before.
Right.
There was no need for them ever to hide. And that is most definitely showing us shame and fear over what they have done. The one command they had, they've transgressed. And isn't it interesting when God calls them, God called to Adam and said to him, where are you?
Right.
Dude.
He's not gathering information.
Does he know where they are? Can they hide from God behind some trees? Yeah, I don't think so. But isn't it interesting? Because when God steps in there, okay, the devil has done this. He's brought this temptation. And in their freedom...
Mm-hmm.
That's very important to notice here. In their freedom, Adam and Eve say yes to Satan's plan. So what does God do? Those of us with authoritarian fathers in our background expect God to come in there with wrath.
Yeah.
Hey, you two, get out from behind those trees. I see you hiding back there. Get out here. It's time. You're going to get a licking now.
Right.
I mean, some of us.
Yeah.
How our dad would have responded.
Oh, man.
How does this father, the good, good father, respond to this? And please, Adam and Eve, of course, didn't grasp what they were doing. Well, I think we'll eat this piece of fruit here, you know, and so that thousands and millions upon billions of people have to wallow around in sin for thousands of years after. Does that sound good, Eve? Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, I don't think they were doing that.
Absolutely.
But God knew
the
potential and what would be coming in wars and killings and rape and pillage and the whole history of mankind.
Sickness and disease
and
poverty.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. So, but God doesn't do that authoritarian thing. He asks a question. So you can learn about the nature of God now, right, while you're learning about the nature of man.
Whoa.
He wants to involve man in the solution.
Good.
Because right from the outset, this isn't God throwing up his hands. Oh, man, I made these two. They were so beautiful, and they were with me, and now Satan came in here. Oh, man, what am I going to do? That's not what God's doing here. right?
That's right.
He's God. He's got the solution. Now, the things are real. The devil is real. Sin is real. Adam and Eve are real.
We're seeing the effects.
This isn't some, you know, role play here. This isn't some movie we're watching here. I mean, this is life as it happened.
Shame and fear have entered into man, and how is he supposed to deal with this, not being created for shame or fear?
That's
what I hear you saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
So he said, this is what Adam says, verse 10, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You said that before. Fear came in.
Fear comes.
Fear was never here before. What can fear do to a human body?
Oh, my word.
To a human soul? Whoa.
Well, we know that it was a comorbidity with the COVID.
22% in that one study.
Right.
They were scared to death.
Scared literally.
Literally scared to death. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.
Mm.
And God said, who told you you were naked?
Good question.
How did you know that?
Yeah.
Did God know they had eaten of the tree? Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
But what he's wanting, he's still wanting to develop a moral character in them, even though they have just done the fall and plunged mankind into
depravity,
this terrible state of sinfulness against God.
Yeah.
Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Now notice Adam's answer. That's a yes-no question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes or no, right? The man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. It's Eve's fault, God.
Immediately. Well, that's what knowledge will do.
Especially knowledge of evil.
So we have shame, fear, and blame now.
So accusation enters into the human race now.
Yes, it does.
But notice that the devil started it because he's the accuser of the brethren.
And Adam was there.
I know.
He doesn't say this serpent. Why? Is it because he named these animals? Is it because of what sin can do?
Right.
But that's a good there's nobody else there except for Eve. In the serpent, really, as far as the garden's concerned.
Right.
Who else could you blame?
Right.
But he blames the one, right, that God has put him with.
That's right. So Adam accuses Eve. The devil's very happy because if he can get accusation going here, he can really get a lot of mileage out of that in the years to come.
Oh, my.
And the Lord God said to the woman, God listened to Adam's answer. God didn't just blow him off. Right?
That's what okay. I would be familiar with that. I don't care what your answer
Adam,
is.
You're talking about the woman. Okay, so let's question the woman. Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Now, that's a very honest answer that Eve gave, actually.
Right.
It really is.
That's a good observation, isn't it?
Right. So then the Lord God said to the serpent, so he starts, now the cursings as a result of sin is going to be released.
And he doesn't throw it on Adam and Eve. Not
first.
Right.
Not first.
But he goes after the serpent.
Exactly. First. Because God came with the solution. Not just putting a Band-Aid on a problem that needs a surgery. He's coming to solve the problem. Right? Because
okay.
Now sin is loose. Let's face it. Sin is loosed in the world.
Right.
By Adam and Eve's permission. Realize, listener, how important that is. Your permission, my permission. What we give our permissions to is so amazingly important. Adam and Eve kicked the whole thing off here with their permission. You are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life.
Mm.
I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
I know that's one of your favorite verses.
Oh, it's powerful.
Yeah.
So the enmity is going to come down to there's going to be a seed of the woman, and the seed of the serpent. It's an interesting turn of phrase, isn't it?
It is, I was just going to say.
Because
males carry the seed.
Right. How women don't have seed. God changes that all up right here now, and Mary is going to be the one who bears the Messiah. But the enmity is still going to be there, and this mighty, mighty prophecy that's given in this verse carries right down through the history of humanity until it lands with Jesus on the cross.
Right, and this enmity, if you don't know that word, that is the word hostility.
Right.
I will put hostility between you and the woman. And man, oh man, has it not, did it not happen?
Right. And so, isn't it interesting? And Lucifer, who has an angel who cannot have any literal descendants, he doesn't have seed that way.
Right.
But he will have seed in those who follow him. They will be his family, basically. Right.
They will use their words.
The family of Satan. And watch it. Get the Passion of the Christ out and just watch it. See, here it is. Here's where it all comes down to land.
Mm-hmm.
The seed of the serpent going up against the seed of the woman.
That's something we got to do. That's coming.
It'll be here next week.
I know.
Right?
Okay.
Right. So, Jesus comes in fulfillment of this great and amazing prophecy and institutes salvation for all mankind. So that's the curse that's leveled against the serpent. Then to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Wow.
That's interesting too.
Like,
do you think there was ever a, well, do you think there was a time when God had a conversation with Eve about reproduction? Knowing about labor pains? What are labor pains? What is this? Like, there was going to be a time when this would, that before the fall, that if they had children before the fall, there wouldn't be pain in labor? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
But it's interesting to me, this whole idea, too. The other thing about your desire will be for your husband, but he will rule over you. What do you think that? What do you think that means? Because it sounds like it's not a good thing.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, I want you. I have a desire for you, but I don't want you to rule over me. But he's going to rule over you.
Right.
And so that becomes the if there are things that happen in marriages, that's one of them. Don't be ruling over me. Don't think that you're over me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That can get severely twisted.
Well, right. But you can see then how this, all through the Old Testament, becomes the norm and the pattern.
Well,
the men and the husband are over the women, I mean, most of the time in some very severe ways.
Right.
Not like we would even understand now that we have the teaching in the New Testament about this, of
good
Paul
point. Good.
And so forth. And even there's God is the head of Christ, Christ's the head of the man the head of the woman,
right,
in 1 Corinthians. But that's another whole subject. So then God turns last to Adam, and he said to him, verse 17, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, you get off scot-free.
No, it doesn't.
No. Oh, okay.
It doesn't say
that. Was the UV there,
the
unbelief version. No, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field.
Aye.
In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return.
Wow.
In other words, to sum that all that up into just three very short words, Adam, you will die.
Yeah, but it's gonna be
not in the way.
Yeah, it's gonna be a toil. That's it. I didn't see this before. So for the woman, it's gonna be childbearing.
Right.
How often do women bear children?
Well, back in those days, quite often.
Yeah, but only every 9 months.
Right.
How often do you toil into the soil?
Every season.
Every season. You're right. Always constantly at work there.
Right.
I mean, it sounds like, man, that was kind of a harsh thing. But when you take a look at what the Lord did to Adam and what happened to the ground that he would be toiling in.
Right.
Dude, what? It just seems heavy.
All this glory and this blessedness that seems to have rested on the Garden of Eden, where all he had to do was reach up and grab a banana or whatever. I don't know, but it just seems like it was just there. Now you're going to have to work for it and work hard.
And work hard. Sweat of your brow.
Right.
How many of you
out there? The curse. This is called the curse.
This is the curse. Right. How many? You work by the sweat of your brow?
I do. I mean, I have too.
Yeah. I mean, I mean,
now I'm doing this, which is not so sweaty, but, you know, yeah, but it's still labor.
It is still labor.
And but the end of it all, though, right. this is the big deal. The being that was not designed to die is going to die. That's the outcome of sin.
Right.
And God is not going to just blow this off. Right. Say, well, you know, you guys, I know, you know, the serpent.
Hey, everybody makes
yeah,
mistakes.
You know, this is your first time, you know, so hey. He apparently, in those times of fellowship together in the cool of the day, had taught them and instructed them enough. And they should have known just out of the relationship of his goodness.
Right. And what about what's fair?
What's
fair? We hear about,
this isn't fair.
It doesn't, and it's not fair. This punishment and what is dished out to both of them.
So all the serpent gets is he gets his head bruised.
Yeah, thousands of years later.
Right. He gets thousands of years to work us over as human beings.
And figure out man and figure out, he knows you. He knows where you've been. He knows how you speak.
He's been studying us a long time.
He has been.
Yes,
so,
he has.
Okay, but.
Well, there it is.
Yeah, and verse, but are we going to go to 20 or not?
Go ahead.
Well, the man names his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made clothing from skins for the man and for his wife, and he clothed them. Okay, so.
The first sacrifice.
Yeah, this gauntlet gets laid down. It doesn't sound good for either of them. You're going to die. And maybe they don't even understand what does that mean, to the ground we're going to return.
Right.
But, and maybe they did. Maybe they saw seasons in the garden. I don't know. But. From there, it's like, okay, he doesn't name his wife something else, like a son of a gun, and she's the mother who introduced the fall into the world, kind of a name, right? But he names her Eve, right? I mean, okay.
That's so actually good.
Here's some good stuff that's still coming, right? And God does his part again.
Right.
The Lord God made clothing from skins for the man and his wife. Because he did not want them to walk around in shame.
Right.
He didn't want them to walk around in fear.
Right.
And he doesn't want them blaming one another.
Right.
Okay.
So then you go to verse 22, though. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking before the program today, though, about the image of God, remember?
We did.
And how great it was, and it was. And then it gets effaced or marred or reduced or something.
That's a good word, effaced.
Yeah, effaced.
Yeah.
But here, God says, man has gained this now that he knows good and evil.
Yeah.
And so because of that, now lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life,
right,
and eat that and live forever in the condition of cursedness that, right, God has just pronounced. Think of that. The mercy of God to say, whoa, yeah, you can't eat that tree now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that'll set things forever.
But it's good to be reminded, like, from the get-go, how God has been in our lives.
Yeah.
He has interrupted things that should have destroyed us, but he doesn't allow it to happen.
Yeah.
Doc, we can all look at our life and go, well, if it wasn't for whatever,
right,
I would not be here. I'm telling you, there are a handful of times,
yeah,
I would not be here.
Right.
So we see God, and I think that this should really encourage our listeners too, is that know that God is for you. He,
yes,
is not against you.
That's right. It's Satan that's against you.
It is Satan that's against
you. That's right.
Man.
That's right.
Okay, so let's finish this up here.
Yeah, so God sends him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He,
yeah,
drove out the man, placed cherubim in the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life.
That's putting up a border.
It wasn't time yet for the tree of life, but Jesus would come.
Ooh.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
Jesus and God would become a human being. Talking about the doctrine of man. We don't always talk about Jesus when we talk about the doctrine of man.
Right.
But everything that was lost,
yeah,
in this chapter that we just read can be regained if God becomes a man.
Right.
Fully human, fully divine.
Christ,
right, will take that up in the doctrine of Christ.
And he's not introduced to some kind of a freak show,
no,
standing out from everybody else,
right,
which somehow we've managed to distort that as well.
Kind of like the idols of the nations, right?
Yeah.
That's how they look. Right.
So yeah, I would say that the idea, listener, that you have been created with an intellect, you have been given morality. People know the difference between right and wrong today because of what Jesus has done. But that you've been given a spiritual nature, that you've been given dominion over the earth and creativity, you've been given an imagination, you've been given the ability to make ethical choices, and that to know that you're going to live forever. But, you know, we talk about this pendulum swinging way too far to one side or the other, and your doctrine becomes very unbalanced, and it will lead you into trouble. So you have to keep listening. I'm kidding. No. Keep reading and understanding the Word, and ask the Lord, as you can see in this third chapter, how God does come in and has a conversation. God will come in and have a conversation with you. It might not be a physical, audible conversation, but he will begin to steer and direct and to guide you and to bring you back into the place that he would have you to be, just as he did with Adam and Eve.
And everything that was lost in the fall, and there was a lot,
it was,
Jesus is bringing back.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen to that.
God, yeah. God bless you, listener.
Yeah, have an awesome day. Have the best day that you've ever had.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.